This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One. I'm Greta Mart.
There are two standard options for dogs and cats that arrive at shelters and pounds: adoption or euthanasia. Lisa Laverdia decided to create another option that she calls the third door, providing a home for unadoptable cats and dogs. Laverdia was a successful tort lawyer with a specialization in asbestos issues and lead poisoned children. But in mid-career, she took down her shingle, purchased 40 acres skirting the Apple River in Star Prairie, Wisconsin, and opened the Home for Life Sanctuary for Dogs and Cats. Central to Laverdia's mission is providing care for life for dogs and cats that are unadoptable, either due to severe health issues or traumatic injuries, often intentionally inflicted by sadistic tormentors. Through a network of animal rescuers around the world, the dogs at Home for Life come from a diversity of countries, including India, Southeast Asia, Mexico, and Saudi Arabia. Laverdia's facility includes temperature-controlled buildings and three catteries, including one building specifically for cats with communicable feline leukemia. An average of 100 dogs and 100 cats are resident at the facility in doggy accommodations that include suites and townhouses designed for dogs who need to live in pairs or small groups. Dog and cat runs are attached to each unit, along with four off-leash expansive meadows.
My name is Lisa Laverdia, Executive Director of Home for Life. We are at Home for Life Animal Sanctuary in Star Prairie, Wisconsin.
You're the one that came up with this idea, right?
Yes, I'm the founder and executive director. I've been at it 22 years, since 1997.
But in a previous life, you were a tort lawyer?
Yeah, I was an attorney. I represented both defense clients and plaintiffs. Another major part of my work was representing children who had been lead poisoned.
And this was in Minneapolis?
St. Paul, Minneapolis. Yeah, Twin Cities.
So at some point, you needed to make a life shift, a humongous one.
Right.
What happened? What was the epiphany?
Well, I had always loved animals and volunteered as a little girl at the local Humane Society. And then, of course, with school and social life and so on and work demands, I got away from that a little bit, but always loved animals and wanted to get involved. So I volunteered for a couple different organizations, including a no-kill shelter, and joined their board. What I found was, even with a no-kill shelter, there was a number of animals that weren't being served and weren't able to be helped. By that, I mean they were not able to find homes. So you had a number of animals staying there, you know, months or even years. And a lot of them, as a board member, ended up with me. And so it got to a point where I just felt, you know, being a lawyer, I needed to do something more formal, and I knew how to incorporate. So in 1997, we did that to make the idea of Home for Life and the third door in animal welfare less a concept and more of a reality.
Okay, and third door meaning a third opportunity, a third chance. It would be rescue, euthanize, or...
Right. An animal entering a shelter has conventionally had only two ways to get out: adoption or euthanasia. And if neither of those are appropriate for a given animal, there should be a third option, just like there's three doors in the dating game, or three bachelors in the dating game, or three doors and let's make a deal. I thought, why not a third option for animals in need? And that's how I came up with the third door in animal welfare, which is Home for Life, the Care for Life Animal Sanctuary.
And how many acres do you have?
We have 40.
Was it around 97, 98 when you bought the land?
Yes, 1998.
So when were you able to have a minimal infrastructure built and going?
Well, we almost built the place around the dogs, for sure. Huh. We moved the dogs in February of 98 and the cats in April of 98. And we've been improving the place little by little ever since.
Was there anything here?
Nothing. It was fallow farm field. Mm-hmm. This was part of a 200-acre farm. And we brought in everything: electric, water, well. We put in the road. We built all the buildings and fencing, which is a big thing for a lot of dogs, and here we are today.
Wow. Doggies and cats, more so dogs, come to you from not only around the country, but around the world.
Matab is from Iran. So isn't it funny that dogs can come from all over the world and still find common ground? And that was one of the points I made about working with these rescuers. in different countries that we all, no matter what our politics or the politics of our country, we all share the common ground of love of animals and our wish to help them. And politics don't matter when we're trying to help animals in need. So
Soy Dog is a big shelter in Thailand, in Phuket, Thailand, and they're very well known for the work against the dog meat trade, which is really big in Southeast Asia. The story with him is he was hit by a car, but he just got the brunt of it right on that left side. We've done a lot of therapy with him. He gets cold laser, he goes swimming, he has a cart. They didn't do anything with him. That's part of the problem with these big shelters. When they're focused on adoption, when they get a dog like this, they can't do much with him. So he was in their vet clinic in a cage for, you know, months until we offered to help, but he couldn't even stand. He didn't even have the strength to stand. Now he uses his cart. He still favors that side where he was hit by a car, but I think he's a lot better than what he was. So this is our main dog building. All the buildings are basically the same. We have the kitchen in the main area. All the floors are heated. This was our dog, Simon. That's Flurry. He lost his leg. He had osteosarcoma. Thank God it was low grade. But he has no eyes, and now he got cancer. So that's he got kind of the short end of the stick there. But they amputated the leg, and they bought him some time. Lucky came from Tunisia. He's blind, and he's blind not because there's anything wrong with his eyes, but he had brain trauma. They beat him nearly to death, and some animal rescuers found him in an alley, unconscious. The picture I have of him when they found him is just horrible. He's very shy and he doesn't see well. But you can see from the side how bad are. Blackwater Contractors comes upon these boys, stoning her to death. At this point, she's unconscious, bleeding all over the place. He told them, get lost, and he was not too nice about it. Picked her up, brought her to a veterinarian in Jeddah. This veterinarian contacted a rescue group in Dubai. And so she got transferred to Dubai. So what a small world. One of the people who run the rescue in Dubai, her mother is originally from Stillwater, Minnesota. The woman's name is Miriam Aldani. They call her Mimi. So she's half American, half Saudi. They tried everything to adopt Kitschy out. And her story was so compelling. I mean, she's nearly stoned to death. She's cute. They could not find an adopter for her. So they finally asked Home for Life to take her, and they sent her mother here from Stillwater to inspect. So we brought her here, and she has very little kneecap, and she's missing, like, the fibula. And her legs were totally turned around, so they were very painful, and she couldn't walk. And so we did reconstructive work to reposition her legs, straighten them out. She's lived here ever since. So these are two of our senior dogs. The black boxer is Angel, and she's 11, and Chato is 9. It came from the Anti-Cruelty Society. These dogs were both passed over for rescue, meaning the rescues that focus on adoption passed them by and didn't feel they could adopt them out.
Staffer Barbara Swenson takes us on a tour of the feline HIV facility, where kitties are sprawled on hammocks and multi-tiered PVC bunk beds. So here we are in a cattery, right?
Yeah.
And what's your name?
Barbara Swenson.
And tell me about the kitties here.
They all have FIV in this room.
And that is?
The feline version of AIDS.
So this kitty here is missing a hand or arm.
Yes, he was caught in either a bear trap or farming equipment, I believe.
And then the one that looks like the Lion King.
He is TC, and he came to us skin and bones. We gave him a bunch of antibiotics and fluids, and now he's doing good.
How many cats do you have here?
In this room, I believe there's about 20.
Mm-hmm. And all these cats are basically unadoptable, right?
Yes, because of the FIV and behavior issues.
So any stories about these kitties?
Breezy, she actually had liver failure, so we had to force feed her and give her fluids every day. She was jaundiced for a while.
You have other catteries here, right? There's three different...
Yes, there is a north cattery and a south cattery. We are in the south cattery. Mm-hmm. And a Filuk cattery.
And what's the difference? Why are they isolated from each other?
Filuk cattery is feline leukemia positive, all of them. And the North Cattery has non-communicable diseases. Mm-hmm. They're more like our paras, our elderly cats, our unadoptable ones because they don't use a litter box or they're aggressive.
But for one reason or another, all the kitties here are unadoptable.
Yes.
Collectively, how many cats would you have at any one time?
I'd say between 100 and 120.
Mm-hmm. And where do they typically come from? How do they get here?
Normally, the Humane Society, mm-hmm. the kill shelters.
Thank you.
One thing that was not in existence when we started 22 years ago was social media. And since then, it's really exploded, and the knowledge of the service we offer has exploded with it. So we've gotten requests from all over the world to help animals in need. We're one of the only Care for Life sanctuaries in the country that takes care of animals who can't find adoptive homes.
Well, you're talking about Tehran, Iran.
Yeah, Iran, Thailand, Mexico, Saudi Arabia, Japan, India, mm-hmm. China. Also, all over the world. Of course, animals from all over the United States mm-hmm. and Canada as well.
And again, these are all unadoptable.
Yes, I call them the invisible animals. So they're not always the disabled animals. When we started, it's interesting the evolution that's occurred, because when we started, we had mostly, you know, disabled animals, blind animals, deaf animals, paraplegic animals, the elderly. Now with social media and more and more rescues, a lot of these special needs animals, I call them, are able to find homes. People want to help, and people mm-hmm. want to be heroes and help, you know, animals like that and give them a good life, which is great. But then there's a whole other group of animals that I call the invisible animals, and they're the ones that can't be marketed. If you think of animal welfare, it's premised on a market model, just like retail. And so what happens to clothes when they can't move clothes at the end of the season? They go on clearance. Well, what happens to animals if you can't market them or adopt them out?
The stories are just poignantly to tears. The doggy that we just saw that had his lower jaw shot off by
Someone tried to kill Amal, and they ended up shooting her lower jaw off. So in a lot of the foreign countries we work with, animal abuse is almost, I don't want to say institutionalized, but it's common practice. It's not like in the United States where there's, I'm sure animal abuse exists, but there's a lot more activism on behalf of animals. And I think when we help animals from foreign countries, it really restores the faith of people who are working on their behalf, who don't really see a lot of positivity and really work against unimaginable odds.
But like you said, it's not limited to overseas. I remember the doggy that you introduced me to earlier. As I remember, it was clubbed and paralyzed.
Ben, he got his back broken by someone with a bat.
So they clubbed him with a bat?
Yeah. And his owners dropped him off at their closest shelter in a bucket. So we call him Ben in a Bucket.
And so you made a little car for him.
Yeah. He's got a little wheelchair.
Uh-huh. So is he friendly and he likes people?
He is very friendly. He likes to talk.
There's some really heartbreaking cases. And then there's just some animals that, for whatever reason, we have, for instance, Outlaw, who you met, that entered the rescue system as a 3-year-old healthy dog when his owner was dying of cancer. And he came to Home for Life 2 years later, diabetic, blind, emaciated, and with endocrine pancreatic disorder, 9 placements through shelters, rescue groups, no treatment, and was facing euthanasia. And so that's the reality. And they're not all bad dogs and not all abused dogs, but some dogs that don't stick and aren't able to be adopted. They need our help too.
And how many doggies do you have here that are in wheelchairs?
Oh gosh, about 20.
Total population here, over 100?
100 dogs, yeah.
And then how many kitties?
About 100. Capacity's about 250. So.
And you had a real phenomenal woman come and speak at an event of yours.
Every year or so, we try to do a big event to kind of bring our community together and also highlight the work that we do in the community through our Peace Creatures therapy programs and then also with the animals here at the sanctuary. Because this, you know, all the animals are here, and although we do tours, it's not a facility where people are milling through looking for an adoptive animal. So we try to go to the community with a gala, and we always have a celebrity. In 2007, we had Cesar Millan, we've had Victoria Stilwell, Dr. Temple Grandin in 2013. And so I thought Dr. Jane Goodall might be interested in attending our event. Everybody said, oh, you're dreaming, and she never accepts anything, and she's traveling all the time. And so I said, well, just ask her. Well, little did I know that her favorite animals are dogs, not apes, not chimpanzees. And she accepted. Then it was a matter of nailing down a date, because she was in Tanzania doing research, even at age 83. But she did come to our event. That was in March, and that was really a wonderful experience. We had 600 people there from all over the country. People flew in for the event, and we had people of all ages. Our youngest attendee was age 5, and the oldest one was 95, and it was really an uplifting, great event, especially for the springtime in Minnesota.
Yeah. So. And by default, does that serve as a great venue for fundraisers and for getting new benefactors?
Right, and just to introduce them to our mission, one feature of our event is the world-famous dog parade. So we bring in a bunch of our dogs that people read about on the internet, and they think maybe we're just creating these sad stories, but they actually get to meet some of the dogs that we're talking about, and we do this silly parade to music, and everybody stands on their chairs to see the dogs and gets up from their tables to go pet them, and then they have to go wash their hands before they have dinner, but it's fun and loosens everyone up. So
you're not that far from the Twin Cities.
No.
But it feels like we're in the backside of beyond.
Yeah, we're in Star Prairie, Wisconsin, which is about 20 minutes from Stillwater, Minnesota. That's kind of our home base. And we're across the St. Croix River in northeast, about 20 minutes, and we're on the Apple River. So
you have to want to come here. You don't come by here accidentally.
Everyone's welcome to come here. We're always open for tours, but it's a little bit of a drive and a hike, and most of our tours are in the spring and in the fall, when it's not so hot or not so cold. Mm-hmm. So we have the extremes of temperature here.
Well, you know, I detoured for 2 days to come here intentionally, and I'm glad I did.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad. Yeah, I'm so glad to meet you and have you meet all our animals. So
very touching day. For further information, somebody wanted to learn more,
check out our website at homeforlife.org. That's spelled out, HOMEFORLIFE.org. And our email is on the website. And we have Facebook, of course, and Twitter, and we're on all and Instagram, so you can reach us anyway. And we answer our emails, and we answer our Facebook. And my name is Lisa LaVertier. Thank you for visiting Home for Life.
Oh, I don't want to leave. Lisa, thank you so much. I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Wisconsin. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. People often associate the Society of St. Vincent de Paul with thrift stores. Donations like clothing, your gently used couch, or still serviceable washing machine generate funds to assist the Society in putting food on the table for people in need, or keeping the lights on and families in their homes. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org. Once again, svdpusa.org. And whether you're shopping for new or used items, donating them, or volunteering, you're helping the Society of St. Vincent de Paul help others.